It may have struck some of you that we are in an election season. And election seasons are all about constituencies. Whom do you represent? Whom can you mobilize? Who's behind you? Because after all, if you don't have anyone behind you, then you have no power. Then you're just a single, solitary individual. And that is, after all, behind the question that Pharaoh asks Moses when he first walks in to the royal court. But it also, that question, which I will come to in a moment, it also says something about Pharaoh's conception of faith and what is at the heart of faith. And I want to offer a couple of different alternatives, four to be exact, about the nature of faith and even the essence of faith, the essence of religion in Judaism. When Moses comes to Pharaoh, God tells him, Pharaoh will ask you, as the text indicates that he does, give me your mofet, your wonder, your marvel, your miracle. Because if he doesn't have a miracle, as Rashi tells us, then Pharaoh doesn't have to listen to him. If he comes in and says, well, I don't have a miracle to produce, but I just want you to know you really should let the people go, they'll throw him out. But if he has a miracle, then clearly he's got backing. He has someone behind him. And in fact, it's not only Pharaoh who feels this way. The production of miracles is a spur to the faithful. On Hanukkah, what do? We put our Chanukiah in the window because we are instructed, Pirsume Nisa, which means advertise the miracle, because it is the miracle that shows that Hanukkah is wondrous. When we think of the story of the Exodus, what do we think of? We think of the miracle, the splitting of the sea, the plagues, the wonders, and that's what Pharaoh wants to see. And so, of course, Moses produces his miracles, and as a result, he sort of gets listened to. And that is one model of what it takes to make faith. From the beginning of religious time, people have asked God to show them a miracle. Because if something supernatural happens, then you have, as it were, evidence that there is something supernatural in the world. So there are Jews who, even to this day, organize their Judaism around the idea of miracle, the idea of wonder, the idea of supernaturalism invading the world. But of course, once the Jews leave Egypt and they're out in the desert, miracles aren't enough for them. They complain. And what do they get instead of miracles? They get revelation. They get God invading human history. God coming out of hiding, because as Heschel points out, in order for there to be revelation, there first had to be hiding, right? Reveal is the opposite of hiding. So God was hiding from Israel, and then God's self-revelation comes through the Torah. And again, there are Jews who organize their Judaism on the idea that once upon a time, in ancient times, God came to the world and gave us the Torah. And it isn't a miracle. It is revelation itself that provides the core idea of the Jewish tradition. And all of subsequent Judaism is a sort of unfolding of that revelation. You've got the Torah, and now you have to figure out what it says for every generation. And it won't say the same thing for every generation. It can't say the same thing for every generation because we ask of it different questions. 1,000 years ago, nobody asked whether driving a car was permitted on Shabbat. The Torah has to give a new answer because we ask it a new question. The third way of organizing your religious life, related to miracles and revelation, but not the same, is what we might call religious experience. And this is at the heart of the Kabbalah. Not only the Kabbalah, but especially. That is, to experience God in this world in a powerful way. To have a vision. To feel yourself somehow stepping out of the normal range of time. To feel a touch of eternity in the midst of this world. That's another way that Jews organize their lives, and they think of that moment of mystical experience, as the central piece of their religious life. And all of these in some way, are what Pharaoh was asking about. He was saying, give me an experience, give me a miracle, let me see God. Because if you can do that, Moses, then I'll believe in your religion. Then you have something to say to me. But if not, not. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that actually none of those is really the central way that Jews have or should organize their religious lives. That really the central category for Judaism is not revelation, it's not religious experience, and it's not miracle. The central category is mitzvah. It's not what God does, it's what you do. It's not what you experience, it's how you behave. It's not whether the supernatural enters the world, but whether you reach through deeds to something deeper and something transcendent. The miracle isn't that the oil lasted, the miracle is that we light the Chanukiah. That's the miracle. Thousands of years later, big deal. Oil is supposed to last 1 day, lasts 8 days. If you think about it, for the creator of the universe, this is not such a big trick. He takes a little oil and he makes it last for a few days. After creating the heavens and the earth, making oil last is housekeeping. But that you can persuade human beings of their own free will to light that candle thousands of years later, that's a mitzvah. And this is what Pharaoh doesn't understand. Because the category of mitzvah has no place in his world. He's a god on earth. What he says goes. Notice, says Hirsch, that the one thing that Pharaoh doesn't ask of his magicians. This is a great observation. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, 19th century founder of modern orthodoxy, said, when Pharaoh says to his magicians to do what Moses and Aaron does, what does he tell them to do? Emulate it. Do the same thing they did. They make blood, you make blood. They make snakes, you make snakes. But what should he really have said to his magicians? Undo what they did. If the magicians really had power, when Moses made the Nile turn into blood, he would have said to his magicians, make it turn back to water. Not, let me see, you make blood too. The reason that he said, let me see if you can make blood, is that Pharaoh was impressed by tricks and not by mitzvah. If he was impressed by mitzvah, he would have said, you know, it's a mitzvah if you can make that blood turn back to water so that Egypt can have drinking water again. That's a mitzvah. It's just a trick to turn it to blood. And so what Moshe is introducing is an entirely new category of religious idea. Which is that what God wants in this world is not for us to be impressed by sleight of hand, but rather to reach out our hands, to do mitzvot, to change our lives and the lives of those around us. And that's the organizing religious category. What is the revelation? It's about mitzvah. That's why God says, now that I have revealed myself, this is what I want you to do. And I remember my teacher at the Jewish Theological Seminary, the late Simon Greenberg, saying to us, what is remarkable about the Ten Commandments, and I pointed there because you can see that they are inscribed on each side. If you wondered what those inscriptions are, those are the Ten Commandments in abbreviated form. He said, what is remarkable about the Ten Commandments is it's the first time that God cared how I treat you. not just how I treat God. In pagan religions, it was all about how you treated God, right? Did you sacrifice the right way? Did you propitiate, that is, did you pray the right way? But in Judaism, actually, God cares most about how I treat you, because unlike God, you're fragile. You can be broken. No matter what I do to God, God will be okay. But what we do to each other, that makes a difference. And that's why more important than revelation is mitzvah. More important than God's coming into the world is our reaching towards God. And that's why revelation happened once, but the process of unfolding mitzvot goes on and on and on as we get to know God's will better in this world. As mitzvot accumulate and understanding accumulates, as we tease out what it is for God to reveal God's self, not only in the world, but in nature and through other human beings. There is a statement in the Talmud, Lo Sumchim al Nes, that you don't rely on a miracle. You don't rely on a miracle because sometimes miracles happen and sometimes they don't. And nobody can know for sure when they will. And it's dangerous to stake everything on that which may not happen. And that makes sense. After all, if every miracle that everyone prayed for actually took place in this world, the world would be a mess. Just imagine it for a second. Not only that, but people pray for opposite miracles. Let my relatives not show up, right? While they're praying, let us just get there safely. What's God supposed to do? So it makes sense that miracles seem random and selective in this world because, after all, we don't have the grid. We don't know how things are supposed to work. What we control is not the miraculous, but the mitzvah. What we control is not the outcome, but the process. We can pray, and God decides. We can help, and God determines. But when Moshe comes before Paro, and Paro says, show me a miracle, what do you think would have happened if Moses had said, well, I don't have a miracle, but I have a mitzvah? But that's exactly how we come before God. Not a king, but the King of Kings. We say to God, we don't have a miracle, but we have a mitzvah. And that, of course, our tradition teaches us, is sufficient. Because that's what we're equipped with in this world. So, let me amend the Talmudic statement slightly. We don't rely on miracles except for the miracles that we create by our own mitzvot, by the way we live our lives, by our goodness, by our kindness, by our study, by our practice. So I hope that in this year, whether you're counting from Rosh Chodesh or January 1st, that your life will be blessed by many, many miracles, created by many, many more mitzvot, so that when in your life you feel that a miracle is called for, you will do what Moshe ultimately does, which is demonstrate that he is God's chosen, not by miracle, but by mitzvah. And through that, through the Exodus, the wandering, and the land, Moses does create miracles, as do we all, day by day, when we organize our lives around the tool of miracle, which is the mitzvah. Shabbat shalom.